I find notes beautiful. On a piano, a typical piano, there's 72 notes, 8 keys of what you're hearing. Each single note can be manipulated 1,000 different ways. We're talking length, we're talking about sustain, the quickness of the note, but then also we're talking about how you can put two notes together and make something sound awful, or make something sound absolutely beautiful. My time, my favorite time of worship, the time that I connect, is obviously about music, because I'm a musician. And that's where I find beauty. And the moments that I find the most connection with God is actually with all of you. It's in the moments where I can ignore the instruments and I can hear everybody else's voice with mine. And I can hear the stories behind the voices, because we're a family, and I know every single one of you, and I know all of, not all the things that happened in your past, but I may have known how your week has been and how the beautiful moment of you being able to push that aside and be able to sing that very same thing and make that very beautiful music to God. And to me, the authenticity, that's my favorite part of worship. Just like all of these notes are making this beautiful music.
But that first video with all the younger people, everybody had a different perspective on the way that they saw what worship was. So maybe my perspective's unique, but I think it's still worship. With finding beauty, some people find that in music, or some people find that in nature. But I find beauty in the character of God. I think the character of God is what creates beauty, and that's why God is worth worshiping. I mean, it's not necessarily just because God's this selfish, vain creature that wants us to bow in reverence before him, to serve him. It's that he's actually worth worshiping, and it lets us question what worship is and how we do it. So, like, I wrote pretty much like an entire sermon on this stuff, but I'm going to try and keep it short so that other people have a chance to share also. If we look at the Merriam-Webster definition of what worship is, I'm trying to keep my mouth on this mic. It says, reverence offered a divine being or supernatural power. And if we look at the definition of reverence, it says deep respect. And if we look at the same definition of respect, it's deep admiration of something elected by its qualities. And the way that I see this is, I've come from a musical background my whole life, and I've been involved in worship services and worship teams and all of that, and it's the way that my spirituality has evolved. I no longer see worship as just the musical aspect of the way that we worship, but what worship truly is and how we can live a worshipful life. Because what I wrote here is to live in a manner that replicates the character of God, which is beauty, to live a life and conduct yourself in a way that is worshipful. Worship is to make God our role model, to poise ourselves after his characteristics, the characteristics where we find the beauty of God, the characteristics that we see what makes God a God worth worshiping, what makes God good, and why it's worth serving that. I got all kinds of scriptures I'm not going to get into here. I'll just read what I wrote. Worship to me is the submission to something that we see as superior. Normally when we think submission, we think oppression. Something that's greater than us, that's controlling us, or power that's being flexed over us. But I see it as something that's different. If we see this superior being, which is God, as something that's worth serving, something that's beautiful, something that's worth honoring, then this is very easy for us to do. But also it can be difficult because there's a way that seems right to us. The way that I see worship, to do this most honestly and most truly, I'll just read it. It says, not only to show importance and respect of God, but also to show less importance and respect to everything else. To behold as most important the ways of God, not because of mysticism or proclaimed deity, but because of true goodness, a better, more healthy, hopeful, and fulfilling way of living, as instituted by the overall character of God, how we see God, how the character of God is revealed, not only in the Bible, but in nature, the places that we find beauty in the way that we see it, and what makes it worth worshiping. Worship to me is a condition of your heart and a realization that is powerful enough or important enough to make you change your life and your mind, to show reverence by altering your life in a way that shows honor to something other than yourself, a willful submission. Let's see here. The only thing that I'm going to probably mention here is Matthew 11:29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And it's our souls that worship. Because other than that, it's just our actions. We can do all the things that we would call worship in a way that's not worshipful at all, because people call worship music, but there's no such thing as worship music, there's just music. There's not worship songs, there's just songs. There's not worship times, there's just times. It's what we do. It's the way that we seek rest for our souls through something greater, which is God. It says, act as Jesus in order to worship God. Be gentle, be lowly in heart, serving others in wisdom, fighting oppression, and being of upright character so that your soul will have peace. That's what worship is to me. It's something more than this, just music. It's the way that we seek God and the way that we live like God, because God is worth living after. And that shows worship to God.
As you may have guessed, there's many different forms of worship, some of which you've already heard, some of which you're going to hear. One of them I chose to talk about is acts of kindness or helps. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about various ways that there are to bless people, to bless the body of Christ, to be his hands and his feet on earth. A lot of these that I'm going to talk about are exceedingly simple things that seem insignificant, but in the greater spiritual scheme of things, they're quite significant. One of the ways that we can exercise the gift of helps is to help someone who cannot help themselves. It may be a lack of knowledge, a lack of training, a lack of experience, lack of resources. It could be lack of confidence. building someone up and encouraging them sometimes is one of the greatest things you can do for a person. Someone who doesn't have the ability in their mind. They may actually have the ability, but they don't think they do. So building people up and encouraging them is a good thing. Sometimes people don't have certain giftings. Everyone has a different experience in life. Everybody has a different road. Everybody has different struggles. And it's important that we work with one another to build each other up and strengthen one another in areas where someone might not have strength. There's certain things I'm not good at, certain things that are not in my wheelhouse, if you will, about experience, my temperament. Being around other people is important, and it helps encourage you. But there's specific things we can do. I'll just kind of go down through the list. Some of the things that I think I see as being maybe my giftings or ways that I've been able to help people in the past. If God's blessed you with a car and someone needs a ride to an appointment or to church, offer to take them. If God's blessed you, spread it around. Looking after someone when they're in the hospital, maybe watch their home, cut their grass. Something very simple like that is an act of worship. A lot of people have trouble as they get older with medical bills and statements and all these EOBs and things that come in the mail, and they don't make sense to even people who aren't old. Sometimes helping a person, taking time to help them figure these things out is important to someone, something they can't do on their own. You could teach someone a new skill, something that will enhance their life in a practical way, or maybe it's even just something for their enjoyment. Teaching someone how to paint the interior of their house or repair a door latch might be a skill. Instead of just helping them do it or showing them how to do it, you're teaching them to fish, in other words, and maybe they can become more self-sufficient and won't feel so helpless in the future when things come up. Finances. A lot of people struggle with areas of finances. Maybe your strength is knowing how to handle money in a biblical way. Take that person, if they're willing, don't force yourself, obviously, but teach them biblical principles. There's radio programs, books, workbooks, and your own knowledge that you can help them in a very practical way, not to be behind the eight ball and in debt and a slave to debt. And teach them how to please God with their finances. Basically, imparting wisdom based on your own experience or on your own mistakes. I like to think that mistakes that I have made don't just fall into a void, that maybe I can use those rough times and rough experiences to help someone else understand and avoid those mistakes. Just be careful if you do that. Don't get too haughty, you know, I've got all the answers, you need to listen to me, sort of an attitude, because that's probably not the best approach. As you all who know me know that I'm a bargain shopper, and I like that very much. And it's nice to do that for myself, but I like to help other people find bargains. If I know someone's looking for something and I see it at a garage sale or store, markdowns, whatever, I call them up right there and say, hey, you know, remember the last time your basement flooded and you needed rubber boots? Well, they've got them 95% off down at the store. And I do that a lot. And, you know, if the person doesn't have finances themselves, buy them and give them to them. You'll really surprise them that you remembered and thought about their need. It'll make an impression. You catch a really great sale at the grocery store, call somebody up, or just buy it for them, drop it off. Say, hey, I got a great deal on this and wanted to share it with you. I like to do that. Take someone to dinner. Maybe someone who doesn't get to go out and enjoy a meal at somewhere other than McDonald's or fast food. If you got a coupon, buy one, get one free, that's an even better reason. You don't have to tell them, you can. Same thing for free events, free concerts, community events. You know, take somebody who doesn't get out and isn't able maybe to do that, or doesn't have anyone to go with. I mentioned elderly a moment ago. Elderly, someone with a disability, you know, they can't get up and clean out their gutters in the fall. You know, maybe you can. Otherwise, they either have to let it go and they risk damage to their home, or they have to pay somebody, maybe they can't afford it. It's a small thing, but it means something to them. It could be as simple as a phone call or visiting someone that may live alone, somebody who's lonely, ill, homebound, in the hospital or under some kind of home care. Sometimes that caregiver is the only person they ever see. Send them a card, call on the phone, go visit them. It means a lot. Something that I try to do here at Dialogue, and I don't always do it very well, but engage a child. You know, we got quite a few children here. You know, take time to stop and talk to them. Stoop down to where your eye level. Engage with them in some way. It may not seem like a big deal, but I think over time it might be to that child. And when they're older, they may remember that you know, they're not just a separate group that's over here on the sidelines, that they're part of the bigger organization. It makes a difference. When you're in a crowd or a group of people, seek out somebody who seems to be an outcast, somebody who's over on the sides, along the wall, not really engaging, not really knowing what to do. Talk to them, invite them, you know, over to the coffee bar for refreshment, whatever you feel led to do. It makes a difference to people. Otherwise, people sometimes go to public events and they feel like they're there completely alone. And when they go home, they don't feel like they've ever engaged with anyone. And look for opportunities like that. It is an act of worship. I really believe that it is. I'm sure there's a lot more things I could say. Those are just things that came to my mind. But keep it in mind as you're going about your daily life. It doesn't have to be something you plan. It's usually spontaneous. But I believe that God asked us to be involved with people and to bless others, because we are indeed ourselves blessed.
This has to come down a lot. Everything that I've heard so far has been wonderful about how people worship and worship in many different ways. And what I have to say is real simple. The reason I even believe in God is nature. Just looking around at nature and knowing that all these things didn't just happen. How could all the animals connect, the trees, the flowers? It doesn't just happen. There had to be something behind it, I believe. And whenever I'm really down and depressed and everything's going wrong, all I have to do is see Canadian geese walk in front of my car, and it melts me. I know it doesn't the rest of you. We are all different, but it just melts me to see them. They're so beautiful, and then to think that that big body can just reach up and fly away, or an elephant, a baby elephant. You ever seen them run? They have so much energy, and their ears are flopping, and here's their big mother who can hardly move, it looks, and they just run around. God has given us so much, just so much to appreciate. And I think that's what gets me through. When things get really bad, I look at what God has given us. And we're also, I believe, caretakers of the earth. I think that is written right in the Bible, that we are caretakers. We have to respect them, and we have to look after them. And that's where I see God. That's what God is to me. And that's all I have to say.
So Chloe's coming up, and we're going to sing some songs too, and This is an awkward transition.
It's
cool. No, I'm super excited because, well, for one, I had to come up here to be up here for songs, so I had to come up here. But also, I'm excited. I want to introduce Chloe because I don't know if everyone knows Chloe. Chloe is pretty awesome, but she doesn't get to come here often anymore because she moved to, like, Idaho or something.
True.
I'm excited that Chloe's here today. I'm excited about what Chloe has to share with us. So, take it away.
I moved to Lafayette, not out of state. It's not that far, y'all. First off, I think this is awesome today. This is my kind of thing. I love hearing what everyone else is doing and thinking, and I feel like even though it's different, they all bundled up, like, together as collective and the same, which I think is cool. And I just think that's what we're always about. So I'm super excited for today. The dictionary defines art as the expression of creative skill and imagination, works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. I love the "or" in there. Always making something beautiful can be intimidating. Thank goodness we have options, so beauty or emotional power. Because when we live in this world where God created, you know, Canadian geese, like, you know, sometimes I picked something that didn't quite work out. So, you know, it's nice that we can go either way. Like, you know what? It's not pretty, but it has emotional power, so it's art. So why does anyone make art? To get something out, to rid of it, to leave it there, or to commiserate something, to capture a feeling, to intensify it, and to hold on to it. This thing inside of you, tugging on your heartstrings, may or may not be pretty. It may not be happy or even feel good. It can be awful. It might be angry, anxious, full of sorrow, because the beauty of art is that it's human. It has all these things. It has all these different components. And that's what we have to work with. We literally have nothing else than what's inside of us. So that's what we have that we can pull out of our reservoir, and we can take what we have and we can offer it up. I know what you're thinking, Chloe, you know, we get it, you love to paint, and that's what you bring here every time. And I didn't actually start getting into paint until I was a junior in high school, and I was like way artistic way before that. So trying a different angle, like a different way of worshiping, can be later in your journey. And, I mean, I started painting, and I was like, hey, I'm not too bad at this. But it wasn't until way after that, I was like, this is therapeutic. And, like, when I started, you know, not painting for assignments at school, and I painted for me, then I realized the beauty of it. And I may get into it a little bit more than other people, like brush strokes and the paint moving. Like, you can find, like, Canadian geese going across the road. That's my Canadian geese, is the paint going across the campus. And, okay, so I challenge you to try it. You may have not done it before, maybe did it before and it wasn't too good. It probably had emotional power, maybe a very intimidated emotional power. leave the fear behind, strip it away, just take it off. Not literally. But practice the art of losing yourself, lay it down on the altar, and try another tool that God has given us to praise Him. Because we have all these different things, and sometimes we sit in our comfort zone, but I think it's beautiful when we can step out. So I invite you to help me create something bigger than just one of us, something collective. It doesn't matter if you write, draw, or doodle. Fill it up. Fill the space up. Feel free to overlap and let the words and images collide. Let go and feel. Feel the music. Feel the colors. Just like, I really resonated with what Sarah said, because, you know, it takes a ton of different notes to make a song. If we had one note, it would probably get super annoying. So lots of notes make a song. Lots of voices in a choir make it grand. So just me is not enough. I need all of you. And when you feel and you praise and you worship, the glory goes beyond. If it's pretty, it goes beyond, even if it makes sense. Because it's you. Glory goes beyond all fame. And that's in the song that we're about to sing, and that's what I want you to think about. The fame that it comes out just right and just perfect. The fame that it's the best piece of art ever. Because it might not be. The glory is what it holds. It holds emotional power, and that is beauty. So I'm going to put this up on the table. And the what you're going to do is use a similar color in each section. And the hardest part of making art is making the first move. So I've started it for you. So you have no excuses. It's hard to get past the fear of messing it up. So I've made the first brush strokes. And here is your starting point. Within each color, something to think about and to express. And it goes along with this song. So create what it feels, what it looks like, and what it means. And yellow is to stumble. What does it feel like to stumble again and again? I thought about tallying up like what I stumbled over yesterday. In green, what is your purpose? What is your passion? And in blue, I have what else, or when all else fades. And in dark blue is embrace. What is an embrace? What do you need to embrace? All these different things, just like notes can be taken in different ways. They can be long, they can be short. You take one word and think of it differently than I do, and that's beautiful. So I just want dialogue on here. I'm so excited, but I need you to do it with me. So the vision is that from far away, it's going to be this blend of color. It will be beautiful. But when you get up close and personal, it's going to be human. It's going to be messy. It's going to be me. It's going to be you. It's going to be dialogue, and it's going to be us. And that's where it's beautiful. It's what you're made of, and it's what you've got. It will not work unless you make your mark, and that's when the glory will go beyond us.